What's happening, Chi Chi?
Sexy little bitch, sexy little hoe. I love the way you walk, love the way you talk. Let a young nigga come play in your throat, deep stroke your throat till I make you choke. Throw babies, I'm trying to give them to you. Throw babies, I'm trying to bust all on you. Sexy little bitch, sexy little hoe. I love the way you walk, love the way you talk. Let a young nigga come play in your throat, deep stroke your throat till I make you choke. Throw babies, I'm trying to give them to you. Throw babies, I'm trying to bust all on you. Got a little honor, that's if you want it. Extra little 40, gotta come right now. And I got beans, you bite down. Super good head, no cap gown. Since the first time been peening, couldn't even believe it. Head like that, shit pussy don't need it. When she get hungry, she eat my semen. Miles an hour with a mouth, she clean it. Washing machine, trick, ooh. Shawty got mean, grip, ooh. Know what she came to do. Suck this dick, then she still, ooh. Head monster, set an appointment. Mouth so wet, need your anointing. Way too good, may buy you something. Made a whole song, CIA. Sexy little hoe, I love the way you walk, love the way you talk. Let a young nigga come play in your throat, deep stroke your throat till I make you choke. Throw babies, I'm trying to give them to you. Throw babies, I'm trying to bust all on you. Sexy little bitch, sexy little hoe, I love the way you walk, love the way you talk. Let a young nigga come play in your throat, deep stroke your throat till I make you choke. Throw babies, I'm trying to give them to you. Throw babies, I'm trying to bust all on you. Sexy little red bone. Gotta get head on her. Sense a little rip on her, yeah. I spin a bag on her. With a mouth like that, she can talk her way out going to jail. With a mouth like that, if you go to jail, I pay your bill. I need you, wanna see you. Suck me up for hours. I can't help but buy you flowers. When we meet, I get excited. She gon' blow and she gon' ride it. No relations, still in fighting. Group like plans, I feel it tight. Girl, I got plans for you. A band for you. I like the stance on you. Good mouth got me like, ooh, ow. Ooh, ooh, ah, ow. Ooh, ah, ow. Ooh, ah, ow. Ooh, that little mouth. Sexy little bitch, sexy little hoe. I love the way you walk, love the way you talk. Let a young nigga come play in your throat, deep stroke your throat till I make you choke. Throw babies, I'm trying to give them to you. Throw babies, I'm trying to bust all on you. Sexy little bitch, sexy little hoe. I love the way you walk, love the way you talk. Let a young nigga come play in your throat, deep stroke your throat till I make you choke. Throw babies, I'm trying to give them to you. Throw babies, I'm trying to bust all on you.
like Trader Joe's. I'll swallow kids if they start eating vegetables. New York nigga with the love for Arizonas. I got the juice he bout to start sipping on. You see how it be, you ain't know you needed me, now I'm all in your room. Look at you, want a piece of me, the ripe fruit hanging up the tree. I'm a mango, mommy, pero te quiero, papi. But not more than I want to be making so much money. You gon' hit my phone when I get home. Stank attitude, bad allergies might embarrass you. Make your granny see me at your barbecue. Pop a plan B, stop the family, a father not cute. I'm starving at the function, I'm marveling at your cousin. Do he know where the stash is at? Where the lobster, the crabs, and the past is at? He laughed at me, he do though. I can see his maduro inside my noodle. You gon' hit my phone when I get home. You gon' sing this song like all day long. We don't fuck, he just picked me up from Trader Joe's. Carry all my groceries and lick on all my toes. Tryna cuff, but I know you gonna leave me alone. When my phone ring, it's cause a nigga seen the way I grow. We don't fuck, he just picked me up from Trader Joe's. Carry all my groceries and lick on all my toes. Tryna cuff, but I know you gonna leave me alone. When my phone ring, it's cause a nigga seen the way I grow. You gon' hit my phone when I get home.
CKUT 90.3 FM. You're listening to William Shatner's Whisketeers here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Don't really know what time it is, pre-recording this episode on Zoom with my friend who is in here, Chris.
I'm in here. This is Chris.
Chris is a Whisketeers veteran. He's been on this show quite a bit. We were recording the show together back when the studio was open. Every 2 weeks, starting last January, things broke down pretty quick after this pandemic began. Chris is absent, has been felt on this show ever since he left to Chicago, as we were no longer able to do the show remotely together. But Chris is now here on Zoom. So Chris, take it away. What do you got to say to the Whisketeers listeners and Yabuno out there?
It's lovely to think that my voice is being played over car radios and other, you know, other means of transmitting noise throughout Montreal when I am sitting in my bed in the dark in northwest suburbs of Chicago. It's pretty crazy. The wonders of modern technology. I'm truly just shaking thinking about it. So to everyone hearing my ugly American voice, bonjour.
That was beautiful. Thank you for that. That was well needed, especially that bonjour right there. That was good.
Was it a good, how was that?
You did well. You did good.
All right. I haven't like heard French for probably like
years.
5 months.
Yeah. In years since you've heard French. Sad.
That's it does right. Feel like it feels so long ago. It's really hard to believe that like the first time that I came into the CKUT 90.3 FM studio on Rue University. That was like almost an entire year ago. If it really feels like I just keep on like the increment of time that I just keep thinking about is 3 months. Like everything feels like it's 3 months ago.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It feels like a lifetime ago, and at the same time, it feels like last week.
But a lot has changed.
A lot has changed, that's for sure. Where are you talking to us from right now?
My childhood home.
Where is that?
I'm not entirely comfortable giving out my address. Just for security reasons. The far northwest side of the city of Chicago in the state of Illinois.
State of Illinois.
Are you taking notes?
No, I'm not taking notes. I'm just repeating after you. Well, Chris from Illinois, it's great to have you here on the show. I'm actually in Vancouver right now, you know, chilling in a hotel room, just waiting out the night for my flight tomorrow back to Montreal.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm staying in a pretty interesting neighborhood. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. My hotel's located like right in the middle of the downtown east side. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I'm pretty unfamiliar with Vancouver and BC as a whole.
Okay, well, I could give you a bit of information. The downtown east side used to be like a hustling, bustling area of Vancouver, super old area. Like it was a pretty big cultural, political hub. But as things do in cities, they shift, you know, to different areas in the city. And that's what happened. The downtown east side now is home to the largest houseless population probably in Canada, I'd say, and is the epicenter of the opioid crisis in Canada. That is like 100% certain facts. So it's been a pretty interesting place to be spending my trip, having my hotel right in the center of it. Yeah, it's been pretty interesting, that's for sure. It's a situation out here in the downtown east side. If you look it up, like you'll find so much information on this area. Those listening, I'm sure you've heard of the area if you're from Canada. And it's a pretty sad situation here, especially with COVID.
That sounds bad. But I will say, I mean, I think that Canada, at least on the front of like addiction, dealing with that as like a health issue, I think Canada is like much better equipped to deal with definitely with addicts.
Well, the downtown east side actually, it's like the center of the invention of the safe injection site. Like this is the birthplace of the safe injection site idea. And there's tons of them here, which is a positive thing, you know, but there's also
less overdoses.
Definitely less overdoses. There's still overdoses because fentanyl is like rampant, but there's also a massive police presence, like insanely large police presence, like you wouldn't believe it. But it's been interesting. Like I've just been walking around the neighborhood most days, like the past 2 days that I've been here, spending most of my days just walking around the neighborhood and getting acquainted with it a bit. And it's like a completely separate world and society of its own, you know, like completely functioning on its own from the rest of the city. Like, and it seems like those that are living here are like, have formed, I guess, their own Vancouver in a way. Don't really acknowledge like a regular passerby, for example. And like, yeah, like a lot of people from the city will tell tourists, don't go to the downtown east side. Or like, yeah, it's a scary area to walk through. Like I would never walk through there. But the thing is like spending most of my days here, like the people living here don't care about you, you know, like they really don't care about those, like, walking through, like, no one's gonna hurt you, like, people are just trying to live their lives, you know, and they're in their, like, I guess, separate society dealing with their own issues with one another, like, and yeah, so I don't know, I haven't encountered anything that people have told me about this area. It seems like they've got their own community and their own, you know, like, world of their own, I guess, over here.
It's interesting how, like, through kind of stigmatization, a whole new sort of community is formed, sort of, like, inadvertently, I guess. I've also had that experience with, like, places in Chicago and just, like, I think in any city I've been in, of being told, like, oh, you really shouldn't go there, or, like, that, yeah, it's a place to avoid or something. And then you actually end up, like, walking through it, and it's like, you know, like, people, I don't know, some places get a worse reputation than they deserve, and then
well, people are scared of poverty, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, being face-to-face with it, and maybe coming to realizations when they're face-to-face with it as well.
Right, because that's really uncomfortable, especially if you...
Yeah, people are scared of it.
If you're implicated in that.
I don't think it's a good thing that any of this is happening, but I think, in a way, it's a good thing to be uncomfortable, you know? Because it makes you realize the faults of our society and our ways of governing ourselves and the structures that have left so many people completely left out of, like, the bigger picture.
Right.
Of everything. And how we could have this world where, you know, like, we all live in Canada. Like, I, for example, have, like, been born into, like, a nice place of privilege, like, grew up in a middle class family, like, never had to worry about food, shelter, or literally anything, education, you know. And I have all of these things, and even now, like, I lose my job because of the COVID pandemic, and I'm on employment insurance getting, like, almost $2,000 a month from the Canadian government, you know? And, like, as I walk through this neighborhood, I'm just like, how am I getting this from the same government that has these people, like, in this situation? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And it just, like, leaves you thinking what changes need to be made. And how even, like, the structure of, yeah, I don't know. I'm going on a little bit of a rant or self-realization, I guess, but it's just interesting.
No, that is, like, and it's, like, really paradoxical to, like you see one good side of governing, and then, like, there's such a dark underside, and such a large dark underside, and it's so hard to, like, try to figure out, like, you know, what, like, how exactly has this been implemented so that, like, there is a separation between, like, us and them, of, like, just all the people, all the groups that are disqualified from any sort of, like, aid. I mean, I think that social support programs in Canada are way better than the U.S. I mean, just today, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, blocked the $2,000 stimulus package, that the payment for people who qualify. It's going to stay at $600, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's even that thing, even the $600, like, not that many people qualify for it, and there are so many just, like, reading into, like, the specifics of, like, how it relates to, like, first generation citizens, or
really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, immigrants, like, it's really,
so not done every a lot of citizen to, like, even gets it.
Oh no, I don't get it.
Wow. What disqualifies you, if you don't mind me asking?
Because I'm a dependent. I'm claimed as a dependent on my parents' taxes for the time being, because I'm on their insurance, and thank God. But, like, I technically, like work for the government, and it's, like, it's just kind of ironic to me that, like, mm-hmm. despite that, I don't like receive this aid. And for the record, like I'm not a Fed. Like I work for a program called AmeriCorps, which is basically like, in a lot of situations, it's like volunteering essentially. And it's one of the government's ways of like not spending money, but still attacking poverty basically, or, you know, like combating poverty. Like that was basically the whole reason it was started. It was kind of like a spinoff from the Peace Corps that Lyndon B. Johnson started it. And it was like with the aim of like fundamentally coming at poverty from a number of different directions. But to me, the ironic thing is like to do this job, you know, you're working, I'm working at poverty level, and like it's kind of, it's like geared towards people who have student loans, are like fresh out of school or looking for something, and like who are concerned about their like local community. And so you know, it's like it's a good thing, but then I'm still, again, like I feel you, and like I have so many privileges like coming from the family I did, but like yeah, I guess it's just, it's a weird process to like, as you get older, like to really like start firsthand seeing on like how
messed up the how system.
Yeah, like how different governments serve you, and like
exactly
how you serve them, and vice versa, and like who's left out and how you're treated differently from other people, and vice versa. Yeah, it's like, it can be very disheartening, but
it is.
I don't mean to minimize or downplay any of the issues in Canada, because I've seen some really, really messed up stuff, especially with like the destruction of tenement camps and tents and stuff. Like I've seen some crazy stuff in the last months. So I know that there are serious issues that are like have a ton of gravity, but I'm always like drawing the comparison, having lived in Canada, I'm always drawing the comparison between Canada and America. And I'm always just struck with like, Canada is doing a lot more to like try to like help some people out, whether or not, you know, that always shakes out well is a different thing. But like CERB, you know, like CERB is something. It doesn't include everybody, but we're, yeah,
it's definitely
like,
something. It's definitely a step ahead. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think we're doing miles better than everyone. Well, than not everyone, I meant to say your country, but I still think it's important to, even though we're doing better than the United States, first of all, that's not too difficult.
No, it's really not at this point.
But also, I am blessed with like really, really good like support from the government myself, it's still always good to be critical, to move forward and to move to an even better place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think an issue that comes up a lot in America is that like, people interpret like, somebody who's critical of the government or of their officials as being, unpatriotic, but like in most senses of the world, like it is patriotic to like be critical of your government. I mean, that's how we essentially like keep,
that's, you know, like make your government better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And improve your country rather than keeping it at a place that you're not proud of. You want to be proud of your country and you want to work towards making it better.
Yeah. I mean, even with everything that's happened, I still think that America can like be more than it is, and that there is still some inkling of a path forward. Like we can do better, and like I really think that on a lot of fronts, it's like we gotta like catch up with Canada. Like there's a lot of things that if we just if we just like got in line with what Canada's already done, it'd be like a big shift, I feel like.
I feel that for sure.
I'm thinking specifically, I mean, this is like not super related to what we were talking about as far as like social service programs, but like I was recently struck by like land acknowledgments here. It just does not happen in the US, and that was such like an integral part of like any meeting, or even like the beginning of classes at McGill. Like it was like ingrained in that, and I thought that was, after a certain point, it was just normal to me. But like I remember at first I was like, oh, that's like, that's different, that's interesting. And then I was like, over time, you know, like I really appreciated that was something that was, you know, part of the institution and part of like most Canadian institutions. And here, like, you really, even if you like push for it, like I have a friend that will go unnamed who works in a small local government here, and they attempted to like for Indigenous Heritage Day make a land acknowledgement for a social media post, just, you know, naming the tribes that originally inherited, like inhabited this land. And it was like vetoed, like super vehemently. Like their superiors just totally shut it down, and actually like ended up commenting on the fact that this friend of mine was also a McGill graduate, and that they kind of made like alluded to the fact, like, yeah, like that is Canada's way of addressing you know, Indigenous heritage and Indigenous sovereignty, but you got to keep that away from anything with U.S. government, whether it's small, local, or any scale. Basically, mm-hmm. It was like a really discouraging message of like, that's not what we're doing here, because there aren't the justification is there's not federally recognized tribes in Illinois at this moment. So it was like shut down on that ground, but there obviously are still descendants living here, and you know, there's a rich history of, you know, you can read about the people that lived here, and it's not just like one group of people that was displaced. It's many multiple tribes, and it's a very complex Definitely. History.
I think
gone into it before on this show.
Definitely. Well, the process in the United States, I think it was like pretty genocidal in both Canada and the United States, but
yeah,
it was pretty bad in the US, I'd say, in terms of everything. It was bad in both places. It's just that I think it went differently in the United States, the history of colonization that has led it to the point where Indigenous history and Indigenous identity is something that is seen as a threat to the state. And I guess it's seen as a threat to the state in Canada too, but the Canadian government also uses it in certain ways to promote its multicultural agenda as well. But I don't know, it was pretty interesting. Like the treaties that we had here in Canada, although a lot of them are not respected by the government, there are many that are, whereas in the United States, many of the treaties that were signed prior to American independence, I think, were completely violated with the new foundation of the state. And I think led to a more drastic history, especially on the frontiers pushing west. It was a brutal, devastating history in the United States pushing westward. Not even necessarily state-sponsored, but settlers pushing on the frontier and encroaching on frontiers and displacing indigenous people off their land in the United States.
Right. And, and like toppling their food systems, like,
we had that here in Canada too. Like in Canada, it was brutal. Like, diseases were deliberately spread to indigenous communities in Canada. Like blankets were given that were ridden with disease to indigenous people. Yeah. There were massive buffalo hunts to kill like all the buffalo, which is what indigenous people subsided on. So, and we had
a reservation school
system. Like indigenous identity, regardless, I guess, even of the US or Canada, although it's used to the benefit of the Canadian state in certain ways and the multicultural image of Canada, as I've learned in my graduate level history course that I took this semester, since I'm a graduate student in history, in a course titled Settler Colonialism. Settler colonialism itself, it's not an event, it's a process. And the process, the point of this process is the eradication of the native. And it doesn't necessarily mean the killing of indigenous people, but cultural genocide and the elimination of just the idea of the native, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty rampant in both Canada and the United States.
Totally. And I think that, yeah, you're right, that like it was a different process, and in some ways, like it was, I don't know, maybe you could say it was more violent in the U.S. because I mean that's painting with broad strokes, but I'm just like basing that off of the fact that like not only were most tribes pushed west, I mean once they were pushed west, they were, you know, slaughtered in large numbers, so that was a different, definitely a different sort of settler colonialism. Like that is the outright, like, you know, physical eradication. Like I feel like it happened more in the US, but then yeah, like the residential schools, it's a whole
big issue,
whole other thing of like dissolving their culture and forcing
assimilation, like
white Canadian culture onto them.
Settler colonialism like doesn't necessarily have to entail like killing, as I said, in the physical sense, but it's just to eliminate this identity, to create the new settler colonial identity in face of the threatening indigenous identity that threatens the settler colonial project. But anyways, this is the start of our show. We should get into some music, I think.
Yeah, that was an interesting lead-in.
Yeah, very long one and interesting one, though. We went to many areas.
We got some tunes coming your way. If you forgot, this is CKUT 90.3 FM on your dial. This is William Shatner's Whiskey Tears.
Just like a baby. Thank you. me back. I ain't no bad. Cause you the one who misled me. Don't judge me back. I ain't no bad.
Yourself.